Welcome. This is a dynamic production podcast for selling with the system for IPAs. Here is your host, Todd Schaefer.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Like, what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? Why are we trying to accomplish it? What does it matter if we accomplish it? What motivates us? What inspires us? What gets us to do what needs to get done? What the heck does our agency exist for anyhow? You know, and I've struggled with my own purpose. However, I do know that my job is to help you get more activity in less time and with better results. Period. End of story. And together, we want to become clear about what makes us successful IPAs. And no, that is not an Indian pale ale. It is income producing activities. So we want to become more clear about what makes us successful, why it's important. Why is activity important? Why do we need it? Why do we want to be accountable to it? What does it matter? How we intend to do it, what are our processes, what is the procedure, what is our technique, how much we intend to do it, that's volume, how much are we going to ask, how many dials are we going to make, and when we intend to do it. We also want the ability to verify we're doing what we intend to do at the performance we need to be getting it done. We want to verify if we're doing what we intend to do and at the performance it needs to be done. That's what it means to have a plan.
That's accountability.
Yeah. And those two things need to exist, which is volume and performance, in order for our efforts to be converted to success. So that's pretty much what I've set my mind on, is that anything pertaining to activity, we will seek to address, and if it's a roadblock, we will remove, and if it's a technique, we will improve. Fair enough?
Yes.
So, Tiffany just happens to be our number one guinea pig at this point in time. The biggest benefit to Tiffany and I and others mastering the art of cold calling is that it comes with unlimited volume of opportunity. The big challenge is that it is the hardest process to master. And here are some of the thoughts that I'm going to share with you right before we look at your numbers. I've been training a lot of people in these processes now, and I can sense their frustration as well as their thoughts of being quick to quit. Because not being able to achieve the level of results that they're hopeful of achieving.
And as I thought about this,
I thought about the time frame that it took me to get to a pretty good performance level. And it was probably about 4 months. So December, awful. January, awful. February, awful. March, it started to turn. April, it dropped. And May was phenomenal. May was the month I hit 65% success rates. 4 to 5 months. And I can I would imagine that my job is to shorten that time frame for others because I had to go figure it all out on my own. what I can't help but consider is the process my own brain needed to go through in order to come to terms with certain elements of the technique, the delivery, and the process itself. I had to come to understand it intently. And once that understanding came, you know, it was like the whole world started to slow down. And as I engaged in these calls, there was no fear. There was no reluctance. There was a level of expectancy. Like, I truly believed that every day I was pulling down at least two new quoting opportunities, which I did consistently on a daily basis. We want that for you and everybody else that follows. So let's talk about how we're going to do that and try to identify any roadblocks that's preventing us from getting there, or simply help you to keep improving your technique and understanding. There's a difference between being told what to do, how to do it, and understanding when doing it. Let's go ahead and log in underneath Tiffany. All right, when you log in, let's leave the pipeline activity up. So I'm looking at Dennis, Ted, Kenneth, Christopher, Cynthia, Moores. So those are all relatively new from Christy up, June 22nd, all the way up to July 10th. Now, what those would say to me is that those are fact finders that you completed on these people. Is that true or false?
True.
Wow. See, we gave her a round of applause before we even pulled it up, and she was well-deserving. All right, so what you're saying to me, Tiffany, is that, Todd, I can create the opportunity. But you're also saying that when you go to call them back, that's where it's kind of falling off for you. You're not moving them from the quote step to the present step. So let's first look at Dennis then. Click on his name. Click on his fact finder. I would consider that a legit fact finder, would you, Audrey?
Yeah.
Let's click on pipeline. Let's click on Ted. Click on his fact finder. Legitimate fact finder. Click on pipeline one more time. Let's click on Kenneth. Legitimate fact finder. You're the bomb, Tiffany. We can go back, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago when I made the prediction or statement that I am seeing progress. What you are demonstrating, Tiffany, is that you can create the opportunity and get the information needed to run the quote. So now if we click on the red house, go ahead and click on dial at the bottom of that 20-day challenge. And let's change it to cold call in the yellow drop-down. Wow. That's the best we've ever seen in 10 years, Audrey. If your ambition is to become an agent at some point down the road, Tiffany, you are demonstrating to yourself that you might have the makings to do just that. If you think about it, there is no concrete process in place for the follow-ups upon getting the fact finder and running the quotes like there is for creating them. What I'm saying is if you click on auto prospecting cold call, that process is down. If you click on auto prospecting to present, that is not down. And the good news, Tiffany, is that I'll be able to test this stuff alongside you. So it's not me guessing as to what we should do, but I have some thoughts that I would imagine would have some merit. What is your general impression of the conversation between you and the individual when you are in the fact-finding step. Do you feel a true connection, that like they're genuinely opening up to you, offering you the information, or are you fighting for the information?
Conversations kind of turn, they sound happier, or...
All right, excellent. Good, that's good. That's exactly what I'm experiencing. So let's actually go back to that, Kenneth, and click on the fact finder and scroll down to the bottom. Do you see the must ask section? Okay, so let me make the point of this section. These three steps were my first attempt to basically close the deal at the point of fact finding, to improve the volume of people that would answer the call when I called them back. Now, it may not be perfected yet, and we may have some work on it, but let's address it and let's put some thought into it and see if there's anything that we want to change to help improve the volume of people that you run quotes on to the volume of people you get to present to. Is that the roadblock or the area of the process that we're seeking to improve?
Yes.
All right, good. So, number 19, have you placed a claim thinking something was covered only to find out it wasn't? The good news here is I often heard, like, no. It was like that kind of response. That was the most typical. Why would that be important?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Are you trying to point out the fact that the previous agent might not have done any fact-finding to fit coverage to their needs?
Right. Or maybe open up that conversation with them, giving permission to do so. Or at least it being on their mind. So like if they responded no, why would you ask such a question? So you're thinking you're going to pay $1,000 deductible to get a new roof. And then they come back and say, well, no, we're only going to pay $4,000 of that because that's what your roof is worth and you're paying the rest. That would be thinking something was covered but wasn't. And this is the number one reason we ask the tough questions. We want to ensure there are no surprises or financial hardships in your time of need. So again, it's not perfected. We don't know, but that is the premise for which the question was placed here at this step of the process. Maybe the thoughts with these three questions is to elevate the person's focus on what we are doing. All right, so then if through this review process we discovered you have inadequate coverage, would you want to improve your coverage? Initially, and again, I wasn't so comfortable with that question, actually. But I understand my reasoning for it. And the reasoning might be, will you allow me to do a full review so that you never think something is covered only to find out it isn't when placing that claim? That's the only time you're ever going to discover that. You're never going to go through your homeowner policy or auto policy. Heck, you might think you got rental car benefit. I would imagine that's happened to you guys. Can I get a rental car? You don't have it. What do you mean I don't have it? But that's my point. People don't know, and maybe that could be the topic of discussion. We could basically make it our technique to say the reason we ask that question is because you'll never know until you actually place a claim, only to find out that it wasn't covered. And then number 21, if I can improve your existing plan, would there be any reason you wouldn't change to let me represent you in your insurance needs? I ask that one every time. I was a big fan of that question, and here was one unique response I got. I said, well, I've been with State Farm. That's who he was with for 40 years, and I kind of like the fact that they're right down there on the corner, and I can go in there and heckle them. What are my odds of closing that case? Slim to none, in my opinion.
So what do you do?
Don't get your hopes up. But what I want is people say, I would have no hesitation in changing. So basically, let's think about it this way. Let's say that we asked 19 and 21, and they said no to 21. Maybe that would be a good time for us to say, great, well, I want you to know as I'm preparing your quotes that our number one goal is to ensure that you or your loved ones never experience any financial hardship whatsoever or any surprises. So I want to do my best to get you a plan that does exactly what you'd expect or hope at the best possible premium. Your job isn't to say, what can I do to make me successful? Your focus is to say, what can we do to make others successful? Meaning that nobody under your watch will experience a surprise or financial hardship. And the reason that you want to get the activity and find as many people as you can is because you are the best. The point I'm trying to make is, does your customers know your mission? Are you making it a point to say, by the way, we're working to protect and preserve the quality of life of the people we represent? And what does that mean? It means that you will never experience a surprise or a financial hardship in your time of need. Why do we do it? Because we know from experience that when the unexpected happens, we are going to be one of the first people you call. Maybe communicating verbally our mission in a very subtle, tactful way could make a huge difference on our ability to get the information, on the people's willingness to answer our calls when we call them back, and people choosing us to represent their insurance needs. If we say to somebody, if I can improve your existing plan, would there be any reason you wouldn't change to let me represent you and your insurance needs? No. Awesome. Well, before I go, Dennis, I just want you to know our number one goal is to protect and preserve the quality of life of the people we represent, which means that there will be no surprises or financial hardships in your time of need. And if that's how the call ends, might that help him to pick the phone up when we call back? That is how to. So let's summarize today. First and foremost, my job is to help you get more activity in less time with better results. How I intend to do that is through the power of processes, techniques, and systematizing those processes and techniques that allow you the ability to work those and get measurements to determine if those techniques or steps within our processes are truly performing at the level we need them to perform in order to get our desired result. Tiffany has proved that the process is duplicatable.
To learn more about how Dynamic Production and the System for IPAs makes sales process activity simple and more successful, you can visit www.dynamicproduction.com. That's DYNAMIC production.com, or call 303-986-5458.